Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fae King by Millie Taden, narrated by Chandra Sky. Chapter 1.
Beep, beep, beep.
Kaya Cootstone cracked her eyes open and mentally quit this life, praying for a hole to open up and swallow her, and then slammed her hand down on the loud, offensive alarm. Ugh. What had she done in her past life to get stuck waking at 4 a.m. to head to a dead-end job? What god had she angered? It took a minute to stop the moping, before she sighed and got up to take a shower. Things could be worse. After showering and putting on her apron for Cookie's 24-hour diner, she sat on the living room sofa to wait for her brother DJ, a.k.a. Dick Jr. Dick Sr. being their father. She pressed the home button on her cracked cell phone. Zero calls, zero messages, zero notifications. She really didn't need the phone, but had it for the days her work called her in early, or for extra hours. She could always use the overtime.
"Hey, K-Latte,"
DJ greeted from the hallway, his t-shirt rumpled and his beard so out of control, it looked like it needed its own zip code.
"So, got that rent money for me?"
She frowned, curling her hands into fists.
"I just paid you the rent last week."
He grinned that smile that worked on his girlfriend, but not on Kaya. She was dead to his attempt at charm.
"You can always prepay a few months. I need to pay for my girlfriend's bed."
She glanced at the ceiling and prayed once again to be sent to another dimension with less idiots.
"That's not my problem. She's not my girlfriend. And I already told you that if you saved the money and just bought her a bed, instead of paying a rent-to-own spot, you'd have a bed without owing anybody by now. Or better yet, have her buy her own bed."
He huffed and shook his head, tossing his car keys in the air and catching them in his palm.
No. I'm not going to make her pay for anything. She's my girl. How bad does that make me look?"
She hopped to her feet and pursed her lips.
"I don't know, DJ. It can't be worse than trying to make your sister pay for shit that's not hers."
"But you're my sister."
He laughed, as if the whole thing was funny. That's what irritated her the most. It wasn't a joke. She was so sick of living in that tiny room with nothing. If he and his girlfriend even smelled a snack, they'd make it disappear. But God forbid they ever buy any food.
"I'm not doing it. Let's go. I'm going to be late for work," she snapped, heading out ahead of him.
"I see somebody's got her period again," he chuckled.
She barely refrained from snapping at him again. It was useless, though. Nothing would change. He dropped her off at work and then headed for his own job at a nearby construction site. He was security and sat on his ass all day, playing on his phone. An hour later, she was in the thick of the breakfast crowd, already exhausted.
"Hey, Kaya doll," Cookie said as she came in to check on the morning staff. "How are you doing today?"
"Good,"
she said. What else could she say? She wasn't one to share her problems with people. At the end of the day, she knew she had to work hard to get herself moving forward. Life wasn't going to gift her everything.
"Are you going to school tonight?"
Cookie asked, fixing a to-go cup of coffee and placing it on the counter. Kaya shrugged. Today was one of those days she didn't know the point in anything. She'd been going to a school she hated to please her mother. She wasn't happy with it, and had finally decided she'd do something that she actually enjoyed.
"I don't really know what I want to do," she admitted.
Cookie's head snapped toward her, a frown marring her face.
"Really? You are so talented, Kaya."
"My mom is the one who wants me to be a hairdresser. That was always her dream, not mine. But I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing."
She started to question herself. Shouldn't she know by now? She was 22 years old.
"Don't push yourself. Cookie said in a soothing motherly voice. You'll figure it out. If you need any advice, just come see me.
She gave Cookie a smile she didn't feel and went back to her customers. The rest of the morning went by fast. During her break, she sat at the back entrance to the diner, talking to her mother on the phone.
Kaya, her mom said in that authoritarian voice, did you buy any food?
No, Mom. DJ and his girlfriend don't buy any food. When I buy it, they eat it all when I'm at work and never replace anything.
She glanced at her black Nikes. They were her only pair, and already they were torn from overuse. She'd need to buy another pair soon.
Your brother is allowing you to live at his house. The least you can do is pay half of everything and buy some food.
Her shoulders slumped.
I'm already paying the rent and half the bills that aren't mine.
Whatever, her mom said, dismissing her.
God, she always did that, and it just made Kaya feel more alone than before she'd called.
Are you okay?
She didn't really want to know. She just said those words to act like she cared. Damn, was she in a shitty mood or what?
I'm fine.
Her mom never noticed when her responses were clipped or heard the exhaustion in her voice.
Okay, I gotta go. I'm going to the spa today. Have you spoken to your dad?
The spa. That was a luxury she could never afford. But heaven forbid her mom offer to treat her sometime.
Not yet.
She knew without a doubt he'd be calling in the next few minutes, and then he'd start crying over whatever financial problems he had. Problems he always expected Kaya to solve.
Listen, your grandmother gave me this ugly old-style necklace with a gemstone that looks like something a little kid put together. She said it was supposed to go to you on your 21st birthday.
Kaya sighed.
Mom, I just turned 22.
You did?
When?
Chapter 2. Kaya pinched the bridge of her nose. How many mothers didn't know the birth date of her own children?
Last week.
Oh, anyway, back then I tried to get her to sell it and buy you something prettier, but she wouldn't go for it. So when I found it a few days ago under the recliner, I mailed it to DJ's address. I checked the tracking and it should arrive today.
Okay, thanks.
Hopefully DJ didn't try to pawn it or give it to his girlfriend as a present. She bit her bottom lip and glanced around the busy back lot.
Hey, maybe I can come up and visit with you and Grandma? I miss you.
Oh no, her mom interjected. You know Grandma isn't well, and I have a lot of work and stuff.
I know, I miss you.
Okay, so I'll talk to you later. Love you.
She hung up before Kaya got a chance to say anything else. Kaya sighed and stared around, not really seeing anything. She stayed immobile for a few minutes before getting up and heading back into the diner. The rest of the morning went by in a blur of food deliveries, serving coffee, and the constant cha-ching of the cash register. By noon, she was beyond ready to get the hell out of there. After clocking out, she sat for the first time that day and groaned at her aching feet.
Hey, baby.
Her best friend, Avery Lotus Mist, called from the front door and winked.
You ready to hit the road?
Avery's welcoming face was a boon to Kaya's aching body. She needed gal pal time desperately.
Never more so.
She sighed and groaned her way to the door. She probably looked like an elderly person who could barely walk. Lately, her feet were swelling, something they'd never done before, which sucked with her type of job. She should probably see a doctor, but that took time from work she didn't have and money she couldn't spare. Avery hugged her and opened the passenger side of her car for Kaya.
I can't believe we're back together after all this time. Who would have thought all three of us would move back into town? This is so cool.
Kaya slid into the seat and sighed as the seat cupped her aching backside and the pressure on her feet eased. Kaya didn't want to remind her friend that she'd never left.
Same home, same dead-end job, same life. Unlike the others she'd grown up with, Kaya didn't have the ability to up and move. Not to mention, with divorced parents who lived in different states, away from her, she didn't feel she truly had a home. She and Avery had been best friends forever, along with Jenny Foxray, since their grandparents had always been very close. The three women had separated at different points due to life issues, but years later found themselves back in their hometown again. Avery had a new cute little red Fiat her parents bought her for graduating from college. Kaya was enjoying the smooth ride when her cell phone rang. She groaned when she saw the caller's name. "Is that your dad? Is he the same as when we were kids?" Avery asked, disgust in her voice. "If he is, don't pick up." Kaya sighed.
"I have to, or he'll start sending me nonstop text messages."
She hit the green answer button and closed her eyes.
"Hi, Dad."
"Kaya," he started, his voice thick with tears. "You don't know, honey. A car part broke and I can't work until it's fixed."
She snapped her eyes open.
"Here we go. That sucks, Dad."
Funny how he always had a big emergency when it was her payday. Every single week.
"I was hoping you could help me out with that. You know I can't work without the car."
She took a deep breath and then let it out slowly. Why couldn't she have a normal family with parents that actually gave a fuck? Her chest hurt, and emptiness grew in her heart. She felt so alone.
"No, Dad, not this week. I have some personal things I need to pay for."
"Like what?"
he asked in an accusatory voice.
"What could be more important than helping me in an emergency?"
She rolled her eyes and glanced at Avery, who was shaking her head, her lips pursed in an angry line.
"Does it matter? I can't. I work a minimum wage job, Dad. I'm trying to figure out a way to educate myself and move forward so I don't have to keep doing this. I can't save a single dollar to pay for school because you have some type of emergency every other week. I'm really sorry, but I can't."
Her stomach hurt from letting the words out. Her throat closed, but she needed him to understand she wasn't happy working that job or living that life. She wanted more, needed more, and his constant want for money was constantly hindering her goal of a better position.
"I know what this is about," he screeched. "Your mother's put ideas in your head. She doesn't give a shit about me, so now you don't either."
She growled softly.
"Really, Dad? I'm the only person that's been there for you, and now I don't care? No, Mom hasn't said anything, though she has told me she doesn't help anybody, including me."
"Then it was your aunt, that bitch," he snapped. "I know she thinks I have a bunch of women over here that I'm spending my money on, but I'm not."
She shook her head and curled her hand into a fist. Yes, her aunt had texted her photos of her dad out partying and drinking with multiple women the same day he'd gotten several $100 from her for an emergency.
"I can't. I won't change my mind. I need to focus on moving out of this situation. Try to understand. You've made your choices. I can't help you if I can't help myself."
"I understand. I'll just stand on the street corner begging for money with a sign."
And just like that, he hung up. She let out a breath, and along with it, the anger he'd riled up in her. She slid her phone into her pocket and glanced out the window to the line of trees they drove past. "Your dad is still a fucking dick, Kaya," Avery muttered angrily. "Don't think about him. He's so worried about himself. He doesn't even care that you're broke because of him." She smiled at Avery's anger on her behalf. It finally dawned on Kaya that trying to help her dad, trying to keep their communication open, wasn't good for her. In his own way, he loved her. She swallowed the tears clogging her throat. Life sucked sometimes, but she wasn't going to allow the negativity into her mind. He never even asked how I was doing, she said, hating that her suspicions had been right. She'd hoped that telling him she couldn't help him would lead to him asking what was wrong, maybe offer to help. She really wanted the father-daughter relationship that others had, ones she had seen in movies and read about in books.
Forget him. Jen and I have a great idea. We want to go hiking this weekend,
Avery told her, her voice full of excitement.
Hiking? Kaya laughed. You hate hiking.
Avery stuck her tongue out.
Well, short walk is a more apt description, but I think it'll be fun. I heard about this section of Briarleaf Park that has these unique blue flowers you'd love.
Her friend always knew how to cheer her up. Avery knew Kaya's favorite color was blue, and blue flowers fascinated her. She even had what looked like a tiny blue flower birthmark on her right hip.
So, what do you say?
Avery asked, intruding in her thoughts.
Sure, what the hell? I have nothing better going on.
She really didn't want to spend her day off on her feet, but it would be worth it to spend time with Avery and Jen. It was truly great to have them back in her life.
That's the spirit, Avery laughed. You'll have fun. At minimum, we'll get lost and have the sexy forest rangers come find us. It'll be an adventure.
I'll make sure to take my hoodie then, in case we're stuck sleeping in the woods, she joked. Who got lost nowadays? Everyone had GPS on their phones. And Briarleaf Park was big, but not that big. It would get her out of the house and into fresh air at least. Chapter 3 Jarek Valsis slammed his fist on his desk, an angry growl rising from his chest. He pinned his gaze on Devdin, his security chief.
This is the third female child that has gone missing, Dev. I'm not going to have a fourth.
Dev gave a sharp nod. Jarek shoved his long blonde hair behind his fey ears. His bright green eyes, which made him a favorite among the females, were narrowed in anger.
They have taken them from the Jade Vine Forest. The younger girls like to go there to visit with the pixies. So how did they get the girls without being seen?
Jarek asked, waving his hand and using magic to create a visual image of the Jade Forest in front of them.
Witnesses say that the girls had gone into the border territory with the Snake Root Caves. If they got too close, anything could happen, and none of our gods would know.
Jarek zoomed into the borderland on his magical map. He needed to do something. As King of the Fae of Crystal Kingdom, he knew his people depended on his leadership. He would not allow three young girls to go missing and do nothing about it.
I'm going out there.
Dev's gaze shot from the map to Jarek.
I can take guards and do a sweep. Check it out. We can't just invade Snake Root Caves. The Troll King would lose his shit and declare an unnecessary war.
Jarek shut the map and glanced out the window at the twinkling lights of the neighboring tree homes. Dev was right. Luza would flip and do something stupid. He hated the idea of not doing anything right away, but he had to be careful how he approached the situation. Three missing girls in fewer than 2 days was enough to alarm not just him, but his entire kingdom. He'd find those girls, even if he had to tear apart Snake Root Caves to do it. A soft knock sounded at the door, and his sister, Fauna, poked her head inside. Her wide smile and sparkling pink eyes focused on him.
Jarek, it's dinner time. Mother says you both have to eat or she'll come here and pull you by the ears.
She giggled. He smiled at his little sister. No matter what was going on, she always made his heart happy.
We're coming, love.
Fauna glanced at Dev.
She says hurry up.
Dev chuckled and headed to the office door.
Come on, before your mother comes and gets us herself.
Jarek headed down the tree limb corridor to the main dining area. There, his mother, sister, and several of Dev's men were already seated, waiting on him. Once they arrived, Dev took the left side, while he sat at the head of the table. A second later, the steward and the kitchen staff came out with their meals. Jarek. His mother smiled sweetly at him. Fuck, he knew that smile.
I've gotten a few questions from some of the mothers. Since your fated hasn't shown up, they would like to present their daughters to the court.
In other words, they wanted him to check out their daughters in the hopes he would choose to marry one of them, but the witch had told him who to wait for.
No, Dev coughed, choking into his wine. You'd have better luck hosting a surprise party, madam.
Jarek's mother rolled her eyes at Dev.
Are you deliberately trying to annoy me? Since when am I not Nanny? Madam is for old women.
So, Nanny started again,
maybe just a small gathering to give the girls some attention. What am I supposed to tell them when you remain single?
That I'm still waiting for my true mate, he replied.
Jarek chewed quietly before he finally glanced at his mother.
Go ahead.
Her pink eyes lit with happiness.
Really?
Sure, just to make sure I'm not around. You'll have more fun without me.
His mother's smile turned into a deathly glare.
Really, Jarek? You know they all want to spend time with you. What am I supposed to tell them when they show up and you're not here?
That I have a kingdom to run and missing children to find.
Fauna nodded.
He's a busy king, Mama. Besides, he'd rather find his own mate.
Pish posh,
his mother waved her hand dismissively.
He needs a wife. He's been waiting too long.
I have too much going on now, Mother. I don't have time to worry about debutantes and their desire to find a husband.
He handed his plate to the steward.
There are parents out there wishing their daughters were home. I won't allow them to suffer alone while their king attends a party. So if you must have your gathering, go on without me. I have children to find.
Chapter 4
Remind me again why I agreed to this?
Kaya asked, out of breath, after hiking a mile into Briarleaf Park. She was in her suggested weight range and healthy, but that clearly did not mean she was in fit shape.
We've only been walking for like 20 minutes,
Jen laughed.
You'd be in better shape if you came to the gym with me.
Jen and Avery were the only people she could be honest with. They were her best friends, and they'd known her all of her life.
I told you I'd pay for your membership. You know I don't like you paying for my stuff, she said, and stopped to lean on a tree. My legs hurt. Let's sit for a few.
Jen plopped down on a tree trunk and pulled out her bottle of water.
Whose idea was this?
Avery and Kaya looked at each other and laughed before Kaya replied.
Yours?
Jen replied.
You guys have to stop listening to me when I come up with these dumb ideas. Slap a girl back to reality.
She took a big gulp of water and wiped her forehead with the back of her hand. Kaya watched the sensual movement and smiled at her friends. She missed this, the connection with people who knew her so well. Their company made her feel good, better, like she belonged.
We're not far from the Blue Flowers, Avery said. Let's make camp there for the night.
Camp?
Kaya asked, her eyes wide with surprise.
No one mentioned sleeping outside on the hard ground.
Avery grinned.
Yeah, my mom got me a big Agnes.
Kaya frowned. She'd lost them at some point.
Who's Big Agnes?
And why did that name strike fear in her? Jen laughed and got back on her feet.
Come on, Big Agnes is not a person.
They started walking and Kaya followed.
Don't make me beg. Tell me what Big Agnes is now, please.
She hated feeling left out of the loop, but she knew they didn't do it on purpose. Avery answered.
Big Agnes is this very cool new tent that weighs next to nothing, opens up really big, and sleeps three. She came with this very sexy air mattress, and Mom even got me lightweight sheets to go with it.
Yes, air mattress. Okay, tonight might be bearable after all. She bit back a relieved smile. Kaya glanced at Avery's massive backpack.
Is that all in there?
I was wondering what the hell you were carrying.
Avery laughed and nodded.
Yeah, but it's not that bad. Jenny's got the air pump and some of the bedding and snacks. We want to have a little birthday night thing for you.
She gasped and teared up. She had the best friends. Nobody had acknowledged her birthday other than them. But seeing as the actual day was during the holidays, both Jen and Avery had been away visiting family. Kaya had to stay and work, obviously.
Thanks, guys.
Don't get all sad, Jen said, and hugged Kaya to her side. We hated missing your birthday, and we wanted you to come with us. She sighed. She loved these girls, and was glad she didn't have to hold back with them.
I had to work and pay rent.
Your brother could ask his girlfriend to pay something, you know, Avery growled.
I wish you'd move out and live with me.
Kaya shook her head. When she moved out, she wouldn't depend on anyone. She couldn't complain about her amazing friends anyway. They'd sent her flowers on her birthday, and that was more than anyone else had done for her. They got to the campsite, and Kaya was in awe of the beauty. It took Avery and Jen fewer than 5 minutes to set up camp, complete with a cooler and roaring fire.
I gotta admit, Kaya said, glancing around in surprise. You two really know your stuff. Where did you learn to build a fire, Jen?
YouTube, she grinned. Well, that and going to Nick's Sporting Goods and asking one of the outdoorsy employees a billion questions.
That's better than how Avery learned to drive a speedboat, Kaya said.
Jen glanced at Avery.
Where did you learn to drive a speedboat?
PlayStation 4. That's also where I learned to fly a plane, but that hasn't been tested yet.
They all broke into laughter. Kaya pulled out the Swiss blade she had. Each of them had the same one, a gift from Avery's mother. She glanced at all the tiny tools she'd yet to use, but always carried with her.
I see you brought yours too, Jen giggled. I used mine at home this morning, she stated with pride.
On what? Avery asked. Opening a bag of chips doesn't count.
Kaya giggled.
Facts.
Jen frowned.
Whatever.
More laughter followed. Later that evening, they sat by the fire, toasting marshmallows and glancing at the stars.
Thank you, guys. This has been the best birthday celebration I've ever had. I missed you two. I'm so glad you're home.
Jen wiped away a tear.
We missed you too. Now shut up and let's make s'mores.
Chapter 5. Kaya laughed, and when she leaned forward to get another white squishy mallow, her necklace swung out.
That's a really cool stone, Avery said. Kind of looks like this ring I got from my grandmom.
She raised a hand to show the small, colorful stone set in an antique gold band.
She gave it to me my last birthday. Said it was my birthright, whatever that means.
What?
Kaya gaped at Avery.
That's insane. Those were the same words in the letter from my grandmother when I got the necklace.
A year late. She turned it in different directions and lifted it to the firelight, watching the stone change colors.
Dude,
Jen said, her voice full of surprise.
I got this bracelet from my grandmama my last birthday, too.
She lifted her wrist. Her stone resembled the other two, and was also set in an antique gold bracelet. Strange symbols were etched onto the precious metal.
Your stone's the biggest, Kaya. Take it off and hold it out, Jen said, sliding off her bracelet. Avery, hold your hand out.
With Avery's arm extended, ring finger slightly raised, Jen leaned against her and rested her bracelet's stone against the ring. Kaya put a hand on Avery's shoulder and held her necklace gem to the ring's stone. At the moment all three touched, a small explosion sounded in the woods. The women jumped back, breathing hard, looking around, then at each other. Jen whispered,
"What do you think that was?"
Around them, the crickets and insects returned to their nightly activities.
I don't know,
Kaya replied.
Should we go look? She really hoped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?